For he's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or even think. And so we praise God. We had a few little difficulties, but we're thanking God even the more for getting us on this podcast this afternoon. It's 2:10, and we've been struggling trying to get the technical things worked out, but it's done. Hallelujah. This is Elder Anton Seals and a group of us for the class. Brother Stanley, Sister Willa May, Brother James Young, Clarence Brown, and Sister Cheryl Poindexter, and others that may be watching, welcome to the weekly Tabernacle in You Bible. It is a Zoom podcast live. Amen. And we're covering the preface of the book in chapter one. We're gonna cover about 18 pages. You all have your handouts that I sent you. That's kind of an outline, the teacher guide. It should be about 6 or 7 pages. If you follow me as I'm talking and point out the page numbers, it'll take you to the topics that I'm going to be reading. And then you can highlight in your books that I sent you on the hard files, that I sent you the Word document file. Let us have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. We exalt your name because you are God and God alone. And beside you, there is none other. And we adore you. We magnify you. You are our way maker, our keeper. Jesus, you are our hiding place in the time of trouble. Jesus, we love you because you gave your life and sacrificed your life for us and took all of our sins and gave us the gift, oh God. And we're studying about the meeting place. So we come to empty out right now, to empty our hearts and our minds out, oh God, that you would steady us and even guard our ears and our minds and our thoughts as we're going through this lesson together. Holy Spirit, have your way and protect this line, oh God, for any interference, oh God. We thank you because you're in charge of the atmosphere. You're in charge of all of us, and you created all of us for your glory. So we magnify and exalt your name as we meet you in this place of praise and worship and give you all the praise, honor, and glory in the meeting place with God, the tabernacle, the tabernacle. I want us to leave today with one number one, knowing that there is a God, there is a Jesus, there is a Holy Spirit, there is a triune God. And because of the sins of Adam and Eve, the Lord decided years ago, before the foundation of the world, because he's the Alpha and Omega, everything he created, he already knew what he was doing. And so we want to stress the tabernacle as a place that the Lord had established by Moses and told Moses clearly from heaven, and to give evidence that God could sit you in a heavenly place and speak to you. He could separate you while you're in this world and speak to you the way he did to others throughout the Bible. And so he even tells us in under grace through Jesus that he'll sit you in a heavenly place. And so that's the meeting place, the meeting place, the meeting place with God. Is your tabernacle is called the meeting tent. It was before even they had a actual tabernacle court, the three courts that we're going to talk about today. So I want you to understand that there is a living God, a sovereign God. And so on your first page of your handout, it says Yahweh. It says God, divine instruction, his plan, the key foundations for our Christendom, the key foundation for the principles and the purpose of the tabernacles, that Moses was given instructions from God, Yahweh. And Yahweh is a word that's pronounced with no vowels, and it was considered to be called and known as the Tetrapaton. And what that means is simply that it was a word like Yahweh with no vowels. But what it tells us, Yahweh means Elohim. It means the meaning of God. It means that it replaced and gave demonstration to the universal sovereign power of God, not just to Israel, but to the world. Yahweh, a divine name regarded to sacred, too sacred to even utter. So what they did was they changed the name from Yahweh to the Adonai, or Adonai. And so that my Lord, which was translated to Lord, Krios. And so the Septuagints, and that's the four first parts of the Old Testament, Genesis, Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers, and Leviticus. Those are the Septuagint. Moses wrote those. And so we're discovering, and I gave you a link there that you can go look this up and read further. Yahweh's plan, God's plan, the way to God in the sanctuary. It was all about a meeting place with God. The sanctuary meaning meeting place, sanctuary meaning temple, a sanctuary meaning a gathering of God's believers. believers in the name of Jesus. Those that even didn't know Jesus, didn't know God, just came because they wanted to know more about our God. And so they didn't accept always. But notice number B, where it says Psalm 68, we have seen thy going, O God, and thy goings of my King in the sanctuary. In other words, they felt and considered seeing, feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Of the presence of God. His Spirit was light in the name of Jesus. So even before Jesus died, there was a spirit. There was a presence of the living God, because he is a living spirit. For he have looked down from the heights of his sanctuary and did the Lord behold the earth. So he looked down from the sanctuary, from the place in heaven, and said, I'm going to build me a worship center on this earth. And he used, even in Noah, when he got off the ark, first thing he did was to build an ark, an altar to pray. Praise God, to thank God for saving him and his family and repopulating. He knew what the plan was going to be. So we're entering to the holy court. There are three different courts that we're going to talk about. And what I'm saying right now is that you enter into the entering in the presence of God through Christ Jesus. You don't come to God on your own when you're a Christian. You come to God through Jesus Christ, that by believing and confessing. And the reason I'm going over that is because there may be somebody on the line who has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we offer that to you. All you got to do is believe in your heart and speak with your lips. Let it come out of your mouth. Confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus, the living Son, he was crucified there and rose again on the third day. And he is the living God. Amen. And so as we go forth today, we're accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And you can find that in Romans, I believe it's 10, 1 through 7, 8 through 13, because there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord above all is rich, that he has called unto all of us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I want to go back to verse 8, because sometimes we miss this when we're studying, that the word is nigh thee. In other words, the word, we discovered when we were doing some other studying, that the word is the living spirit of God. It's the seed. The seed is the word of God, and it's the presence of God. Sometimes we reference it in Psalms, 27, when we said the size of a mustard seed, have faith the size of a mustard seed. But this is the word of God that we're referring to, and that we're given reflections on the word of God, the spirit of God. So whenever you see that word, it said the word is nigh thee. That's presence of God. It's his spirit, the living spirit, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith to believe. Faith is the seed, is the word of God, that you're believing in the word of God, the presence of God, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. All of this about the tabernacle is us coming to a place of repentance and asking God for forgiveness and accepting God and asking God to forgive us for our sins, so that, to God bless you, so that we can walk in the presence and be accepted and receive the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. So that when this body is worn out and gone on, you got an eternal place in glory. And so that's what all this is about. The sanctuary is your meeting place with God. And I'm going to show you the relationship between the Old Testament, New Testament, and how this word applies to you today. And if there's a way to enter into a relationship of God through Christ Jesus in prayer, it's understanding the power of who you are and who you are in Christ Jesus, and he dwells in you. And so that when he rent the veil, you hear me talk about that later on, he rent the veil in the on the old tabernacle, so that Jesus, when he died, the spirit of the living God, because he is God in flesh. In the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh. That was God, that spirit. And he gave himself through a woman's normal birth canal, through blood and water, and birthed himself so that he could walk among us and take all of our sins. So Jesus is the son of the living God, but it's the triune God, the Father. He said, I must leave you so that you can have even a greater experience with the Holy Spirit, your comforter, because when he comes, he can do more than I can do, because he can move faster faster than I can move in the flesh. So he sent his word, the breath of God, the breath of God. So we thank God for the teaching of the word this morning. And I offer salvation to you now. And for anyone that's listening, this word of teaching of today is found in these scriptures of Romans 10, 1 through 8, 8 through 9. I love seeing the baby there. God bless her. That's Jasmine. Hallelujah. Glory. So we're glad to see her. We had another granddaughter on. Chris Miller's granddaughter was on, and she said, hallelujah. So we thank God for their presence. I raise up the children. We know when children was in the church, in the tabernacle, in the meeting place with God, we go to church. The children used to sit with us. You looked at them. You looked at them. It's like, what? Shut up. Yeah, under your breath, you better not say a word. But now we put children in church, and we lost control of our children. They do what they want to do in school. They do what they want to do. Anyway, let's get in this text. So on page 2 of your handout, we're talking about whosoever shall confess. So we're talking about having a relationship with God in this present time through Christ Jesus. And that's why it's so important to understand that this whole concept, this whole teaching of the tabernacle is rooted in understanding it is the foreshadowing, the coming under the shadow of the presence of God, under the leader and the presence of the move of God to bring forth his son, Jesus. And also, the other point I want to make sure that you understand is this is all about atonement. Atonement meaning coming to God, confessing, and asking God to forgive you. So the children of Israel and the tribes, they had to bring an offering. So now in Romans, he tells you, just bring yourself as a living sacrifice. And so the three courts are the realms of heaven. And you can look that up in Hebrews 8, 5, and 6. I'm having some computer problems. My computer froze up, so I'm not going to take the chance of opening up anything else because it shut my Word file down. I've never had that happen since I've had this new computer. And so Jesus is seated on the right hand of God. And you can find that on page 25 in your book. I sent everybody a book that's in the class. So God bless you, Sister Jeanette, Evangelist Jeanette Kruger. Bless your heart. And Clarence Brown is on, so we thank God. And so as we're talking about this class, the tabernacle on page 25, if you go there with me, I'm going to turn to page 25 in my book. I had it on the screen, but I don't want to take the chance and bounce us out again. So go back to the hard book here. Amen. And so we'll work through this. Hallelujah. So Moses built the tabernacle with three courts as directed by God. These three courts constitute the total assembling of God's divine dwelling place. I'm not going to read this word for word because you have this in front of you. But I just want the listening audience who may be on Facebook to know that when we talk about the three courts, God gave Moses explicit direction, divine speaking words of God from heaven, that Moses is the only one that heard it. And he told Moses, he says, Moses, I want you to build, this is Exodus 25, you can go look it up and study it, but also you can look it up in Hebrews 8 through 5. And if somebody has their Bible and you have that, you want to read it real quick, one of those scriptures I'm giving you, and I think it was Hebrews 8 and 5, Hebrews 8, 5 through 6, and Hebrews 9, 23 through 28. If anybody's got their Bible open and just open up and just take it off speaker, because I didn't block anybody from speaking. The people that are on, I trust you, and I know that you're good people. So if you, I'm checking to make sure. Everybody's off mute. So I can allow, everybody's allowed to open if you want to and make a comment. Because this is a class, and if we were sitting together and I could see all the faces, you would be able to make comments. So I want you to be able to, so you could take your phone off mute if you got a question. Just say, hey, I got a question, Brother Seals. But I don't want to get into long dialogues about anything. What we'll do afterwards, we will have discussion at the end. For those who have to leave, that we understand, but if you have some additional questions, I'll stay on and answer any questions that you may have. Amen. And so the direction that Moses received to build the tabernacle. And the tabernacle consisted of three courts. The courts, the outer court, the holy court, and the holies of holies. And we're going to go through each one of those. So we're going to dive into it, and different parts of the book go into the depths of each one of those courts. So we're just doing an overview today. And so the holy court, the outer court, the holy court, and the inner court are the holies of holies. known as the holy sanctuary, the most holy court, or as I said, the holiest of holy. God would appear before Aaron and Moses, the high priest, on the Day of Atonement. So, but when at this stage of the teaching, God appeared before Aaron, the high priest, on the Day of Atonement. That's when, that was after they had built the tabernacle. And so I need to change that writing so that it flows better. But it's understanding that when God built this tabernacle, he used Moses to build it. Aaron was the high priest, but he didn't teach Moses anything. Moses was sharing with him what God was giving him to do on the building of the tabernacle. And God will appear, but he told him to anoint Aaron to be the high priest. And so on the Day of Atonement, Aaron, the high priest, would go in, because God would meet with Moses one-on-one in the mountain. So he had, there was like a co-pastor, but he didn't have the same relationship. See, God established the government of what he wants and the order of what he wants through the tabernacle. And atonement, the Day of Atonement, literally atonement actually means in unity or in the oneness with God. And so you're giving a sacrifice, and your sacrifice laid meant that you were giving a offering for sin or for guilt or just as to bless God and to bring a your best offering to God. And we'll get into that as we go further. And so this tabernacle that was built, his tabernacle has also related to three heavenly realms that are separated by the sacred chambers. His heavenly realm was revealed with the experience by the high priest and the priest on behalf of God's chosen people, the tribes of Israel. And so, however, the chosen people, the tribes of Israel, actually witnessed the glory of God, and they saw the opening of the Red Sea. They also saw when they were in the desert that was that Joshua and Caleb. God told them, tell them to go over to the areas and get the rewards. And they saw these huge grapevines and huge grapes, and nobody believed the report that came back. And Caleb and Joshua said, we can take it. And everybody else said, no, no, no. So you got to be careful of the company that you keep, because everybody's not going to believe what you believe when you start hearing the word of God. And I'm just trying to make this simple. And so as we talk about the altar and this relationship of God, that the chosen people are now you. You are the chosen people. God always had in plan for you and I to be a part of a place of worship, a part of prayer. And so part of the teaching today is to get you to understand that this tabernacle that we dwell in, this tent, that's in 1 Corinthians 3:16, and we're going to cover in just a minute. But yet all points to the coming of Jesus Christ. That's on page 25 at the second, third paragraph down, that all of this points to the grace of God by the blood of Jesus that will be shed on Calvary. So this whole offering of sacrifice, the blood, there is no way to the kingdom. There is no way to be in the presence of God and never sacrifice. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you're going to pay a price. It's going to cost you something. It's not free. We'd say it's free. It is free for you to be able to say it, but you got to be able to walk this thing and not just pretend. It's cost something. 99.99% of the people that I know have been through some fires before they accepted Jesus Christ. He snatched us out of the Brandon iron, snatched us out of the miry. He brought you out of something. And unless he used his sovereign power to deliver us, amen. And so I'm just wanting to share these points with you. Yet we must confess, and we must believe in faith by the word of God. Thus man's body, our body is like an outer court. It's like going to your church and you have a parking lot or you have an outer lobby. That's the outer court. This is my flesh. I live in the outer world. This is the outer part. Even then we get into Revelations, we'll find that that when John was talking, God was talking to John, he said, I just want to talk to you about the holy court and the holies of holy. He didn't even mention no more about the outer court, because he was only focused to know and looking at the people that were believers. And I believe God is calling all of us believers, as he calls us, you'll see on the next page, you are the candle of the Lord. So we live in this fleshly tent, and it's your soul, your mind, your heart, your emotions are all the seat. Put your phone on mute. 3731. Please put your phone on mute. And so as we go through the teaching, let's go back to the book. And it says on page 25, he wants us to see, he wants us to discover on page 26 and the following pages, God has given us an outward shell. So let's go to page 26. And the outward shell, what does it represent in terms of your humanity, of your anatomy? That God needs you. He created us in his image and created this world for Adam and Eve and gave them all power and said that I give you dunamis power. And so as we come into this relationship with God, we must enter into his holy presence as he draws us closer. And you have to have a desire and an ear for the word of God. And you do that by confessing Jesus. And I believe Sister Willa Mae is trying to reach one of her sisters that's normally on the line with us. I pray everything is okay. And so as we look at why does God use us? What is his purpose? You are called as ambassadors. You are created. He calls you his sons and his daughters. But he says sons because in the Old Testament, they didn't say women. They didn't say daughters. It said sons because it represented humanity. Okay, so don't trip now. We talk about what God's design is, not what man has redefined. Hey, glory. And so you must enter to this holy presence with God and to the word of God by faith to believe. And you do this through prayer, praise, and worship. Prayer is fundamental to having a relationship with God, because what did the priest do? The Levitical priests were chosen by God from the tribe of Levi, and their responsibility was not to manage the land. They didn't get a plot of land. They were responsible for managing and taking care of and caring for the tabernacle, for setting it up, for keeping it clean, and for traveling. Hallelujah. And so as we continue to go through the steps of this, God has called you to be an ambassador in the tabernacle, and you're chosen people of God, the elect of God. He's given you to be the stewards, the proprietors of this kingdom on this earth. And so he's given you divine power, and he gives you only a portion of it. But as we come to see now, seated on the right hand of God in heaven is the Father God Almighty through Christ, is Jesus. And so he's the Almighty Jehovah God. And he sits at the right hand of God, is sitting Jesus, a living spirit. He is the light. He is the bread. He dwells in the spirit of all believers. This is God. This is the triune God. Amen. This is Old Testament. There was no physical Jesus walking in this time. And so when you hear me altering back and forth, it's because I'm trying to show the relationship between the Old Testament and New Testament and the foreshadowing. Now, all of this is talking about the coming of Jesus. Because Jesus, you were predestined. Before you got here, Jesus knew, God knew, the Holy Spirit knew that you were coming. God had already created you. They were sitting at the, said, and went, let us create man. And woman was already formed in the man. So this is not just strange conversations. This is the way God wrote it. And he's given us the ear to hear. A living spirit, he is the light. And we refer to him in the scriptures as the light. And so why does he need us? As a believer with a sincere heart, you open yourselves to him as a living sacrifice. That's what I was saying to you before. We don't have to bring rams and lambs and turtle doves. We bring ourselves as a living sacrifice. Offer up myself, that God have mercy on me, forgive me for my sins, that I give my best offerings. I give my time, my talents, and my treasures to God. But he wants to use you. He wants you to serve him. Ministry in the Greek means to serve. You're a servant of God. I don't like the word slave, so I use servant. But there were servanthoods And there were slaves that meant service, but not the slavery that we discovered in America via the European community. And even Africans that enslaved one another, and other people that enslaved one another and misused people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a servant attitude to God, because he said that let them that are first be last, and the last shall be first. Hallelujah. And so Jesus comes to restore us. But here we're talking about the living spirit, the light of God that says, I want to use you and allow you to be my ears on this earth, both in spirit and in audible terms, so that you can hear what saith the Lord. Number B, your mouth, you are to speak my word. That's why the word, in the beginning was the what? The word. Every letter in the Greek alphabet represents a sound. Every word that everyone speaks in whatever language, there's a sound. And without the breath of God, that word, that sound, that vowel, that consonant sound doesn't move. So the life and the breath of God that's in you allows you to think and formulate thoughts, to be able to speak, to be able to move, to be able to touch, to be able to walk, to be able to understand. So he's using your mouth to be a spokesperson, a representative. Actually, preaching meant just to give celebration, to make announcements. It's not just preacher, but it's communicating. It's like turning on your radio to give information and to share. And so as we speak, we enter allowing you to share by witnessing his grace, his mercy, giving your testimonies, your life and being able to counsel people with godly wisdom, because you've sat with God long enough to know that he's given you something that you can do to help other people and not take advantage of them. So your mouth becomes an important part of the holy vessel of God that we're called to be, said, because I'm holy, so I want you to be holy. That's salvation. And this is a journey of lifetime. And the outer court that we come to bring our sacrifice, we're coming because we have accepted Jesus Christ. And we're believing that if we give these sacrifices, that God will forgive our sins. This is Old Testament now. And Jesus comes, and by the blood, the animals that were laid, we come and bow down, and that's enough. We come and lay prostrate, or even standing at a bus stop or driving your car, whatever you're doing. He wants to use your feet so you can carry forth and spread the gospel, so you can talk about the goodness of the Lord, so you can share with people your testimony, so that you can go to corner and travel. Now you don't have to wait on the camel to take you somewhere, or a donkey or a horse. We can fly all over the world. We got folks flying around up in the upper atmospheres. And so he wants to use your hands to give comfort to those that are hurting, that you can bring comfort, and even to have an anointing that just gives a reassuring warm touch and embrace that helps somebody, to encourage somebody, so one can feel the love of God and the tenderness and the thoughtfulness. Imagine the tenderness of God that in the spirit of John, when he laid his head on the breast of Jesus, on the chest of Jesus. Imagine what it's like to, you just had the baby and you was laying on the chest, and that's a loving, warming hug. Can you imagine Jesus loving you like that? But he does. So he says, I need you to be able to love my people. That's why he said, let your light so shine. That's why he said that I'm light, I'm love, and I've given you these gifts. Your eyes to reveal this marvelous light that lets others see you have been with the Father. There's a Shekinah glory. There's a presence of a spirit of God. When you're in his presence, something changes in you. The more you work out in the gym, the stronger you get. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more he'll sit you in a place and comfort you. He'll restore you. He'll quicken your spirit. Hallelujah. He'll snatch you out, as we said early on, out of the miry clay. God, for one sole purpose, gave us this outward shell that we live in, this flesh tent, this frame that we live in, this tabernacle, this human physical body that we live in, is a meeting place to serve as evidence of his spiritual creation on earth, to cover this spirit with a flesh. And call it humanity and give you a mind. He said, let this mind that be in Christ also be in you. So he's giving you the part of the mind, but because of the enemy and the sin of Adam and Eve, we have to deal, and the sin of Cain, we have to live with the fact that there's enmity. This mind is against the will of God. And so this spiritual creation that we're in this body, and it is here to give God all the glory. So when they come and you come to give your sacrifice to God on a Sunday morning, when they came to give the sacrifice and bring it to the Levites, to the priests who cut the animals up first, they washed them, they cut them up, and they put them on the altar. We're going to talk about that. But all you got to do is accept Jesus Christ. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm willing. Humble yourself. All you have to do is bow down. Amen. Yes, he does set in place that we should bring God a tenth. Yes, he does sit in place according to the word to bring your best offering, unblemished, amen? To make sacrificial, even above and beyond sacrifices. But when you know whose you are in Christ, you will be excited about wanting to give God your best, not just in your monies. God doesn't need your money. He does that just as an outward example that you're being obedient. God don't need you. He don't need that. He wants your heart, your mind, and your soul. That's why he said, love him with all your might, all your heart, mind, and soul, and your strength. Amen. And then love your neighbor as yourself, as we see in the New Testament. So we're talking about this out of court. Let's jump over to page 26, 27. And we'll talk about this tabernacle, the faith, the confessed believing that Jesus is the living Son of God who arose on the third day, this holy sanctuary that we're getting ready to enter into, this holy outer court that's still the place of God, similar to the construction of the tabernacle. God's creation of the first man, Adam, consisted of three parts. Adam was like all humans, had a body, he had a soul, he had an inner spirit, which was on the same day the dwelling place of Christ in you. So Christ is in us. Amen. And then so you have, and I'm going to show you as we get into this more and more about who you are in direct relationship. The dwelling place of Christ, the body, the body's mind has its own free will. You have your own free will to do whatever you decide to do. That's what kind of God we serve. That I've given you the spirit of righteousness. I'm giving you to know the truth. There's a moral compass set in every human being because he was perfect. Our flesh doesn't want the lust of the eye, the lust of the mind, and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the flesh, the pride of life, the pride of life. You take those three sins and you can wrap everything into it. So the human body consists of this outer portion of us, the soul, the seat of men and women, their emotions, the natural mind. It's the outer court. It's similar to being able to come and confess and surrender to Jesus in the outer court and bring yourselves as a living sacrifice. And down on page 27, it talks about the tabernacle and the holy court. This is the second court. The holy court, and it's similar. Those of you who don't have the book, you can order it online on Kindle, Amazon Kindle. And so the tabernacle, the holy court, is similar. Represents the mind and the heart and soul, which is the seat of the emotions. There is also in this holy court. In the holy court, there's also the soul of man. This is the seat of one's mind, emotions, the heart, and the will. This is the second court, the holy court. This is where we discover more of Jesus. This is where, I'm giving my life to Christ. I'm no longer in the outer court. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm in the Old Testament. I brought my sacrifice and I bowed down and say, Lord, I'm heartily sorry. And I had to give my offering. I had to give my lamb, my turtle dust, whatever it I brought. I had to give it to the priest, and then they would offer it up through the priests, the Levites, and then the holy priest, the high priest, which was Aaron, would go into the presence of God once a year on a Day of Atonement. All the other times, they were just giving sacrifices for their sins and to worship God. And you can come to, if God, Jesus rent the veil. And so I just want you to hear this. Transformation does not stop just on accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's not enough. This is a lifetime journey of learning to let go of self and to become more Christ-like. So we have this transformation that begins in the outer court, that we accept Jesus Christ, and we need to get away from just being baptized in some water and pray to God you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is not just an illustration, an outward example or illustration that I been dunked in the pool, and so now I'm in the holy court. And we're going to show you what the holy courts look like in just a minute, the three courts, so you can physically see, visually see. And so Jesus Christ departs and believes his righteousness. When you accept Jesus Christ, you're accepting the righteousness of God. That's why I said, let this mind that be in Christ also be in you. And so, however, believers are compelled to walk by faith, not by sight. It is in reading and hearing of this word, the word of God, studying the word of God, that gives us strength to obey and to turn away from the will of sin, that he gives us even the temptation of sin. He gives us a way of escape. And we'll get into scripture text more as we go forward. The tabernacle's most holy court is the holies of holies. That's the third court. And so I'm going to take a chance and see. Lord help me. I pray. Let me know if you all can see this. Those of you don't have a screen, you may not see what I'm getting ready to show. But I want us to go here so that I can show you what the courts look like in the old tabernacle. Amen. And so we start off with a video I had before of here's Jesus. And God said, let us make man. So I'm sharing this first screen with you so that you understand that Jesus was already in the plan, because he is the Son of the living God. He's the Spirit God. He is God. He's what we call in Christendom the triune God. And so I wanted us to go from this screen, and then so you can read this. And God said, let us make man in our image. Who is us? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. After our what? Our likeness. Let them have dominion. Jump down to 27. So God created in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. So man appeared first, but woman was there in the womb of man. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be what? Fruitful, to multiply. That wasn't just in terms of populating the world, but that's also being able to be the stewards of this kingdom, to subdue it, not to rule over man like we're getting ready to go into war because whatever the reasons are. We've had so many wars. We've had so much hatred. We're living in a time where there's so much hatred. And God said, let us make man in his image. And so this book was inspired by the leading of the Holy Spirit to talk about prayer and entering to the realm of prayer so that we can give our lives to Christ and give ourselves as a living sacrifice. And also how to enter to the presence of God. You don't have to go jump in the pool to come into the presence of God. You can be baptized, but I'm not talking about just the baptism. I'm talking about having a relationship of intimacy where you get offered the milk of just being satisfied with sitting in church and never know more about Jesus, never know the plan he has for you, and to live a life that's pleasing. That someday he'll say, well done, my faithful servants. That's what this is all about. It's helping us to get to the place of a relationship with Christ through, and as you see in this book cover, how he even set up the tribes. You notice the four corners, and each section, each color represents something. It's a 550,000 soldiers. That's not including the families. That's not including the men and including the children. That's just the men. the tribes of Reuben. And we're going to talk about all these tribes and each one of them and how they related to you. But notice even the camp, when the camps were set up around the outer courts and the camp itself, the tribes were set up there in the shape of the cross. Again, reminding us of the holiness and the sacredness of God coming. This previous slide was off of a beautiful, it would zoom in and you could see it forming into a cross, even with all this development that you see here. But this was focused on just on the tabernacle, but it's called GLOW, GLO.com. They actually went out of business because of COVID. I just found this out last week, because you could click on this and it would open up, but not to that. But this is the outer court. And this is the altar that I've been talking about, bring your altar. And I haven't mentioned much about the brazen lavier yet. We enter at the east gate. This is the brazen altar. This is made of bronze. It's made of the acacia wood. It was a hard, stubborn wood. It didn't deteriorate. It was made to last for years, and it was covered with bronze. Anytime we hear the word bronze, we're going to be talking about judgment. All outside here, when we start talking about this 150 feet on each side, 75 feet across, in the New Testament, Old Testament, it refers to cubic feet, but I'm using square feet. And so 150 feet long on the south and the north, 75 feet across. And these white bands, these sheets, represents the purity, the separation from the outer world into beginning a relationship. When you enter the east gate, he said, enter in. He said, the gate is narrow. And this was the only way into the presence of being able to bring your sacrifice. You couldn't go no further than here. Now, all you did is come, bring your offering, and went on about your business. And the priests who were in here took care of that. This lavier was used not for the animals. This was used for them to wash themselves when they finished. And this is the holy court. This is where the veil was, another veil that was separating from the outer court and the inner court of the holy court that we'll get to in just a minute. And this is just another example of that. And again, this, the cross. And I gave you biblical texts that you can go look at the scriptures and look up all you wanted to read about the tribes of Israel and how they were positioned and what their roles were and why they were positioned that way. An amazing thing about David was the first king that gave assignment that every tribe would have worshipers around the tabernacle 24 hours a day. And so the banner insignia is the lion. You heard us talk about that last week briefly, that the faces, the cherubim had four faces. And so it represents each of the tribes. The banner, one was the lion of Judah. Well, Judah is entering in, and you're entering into the east to the feet of Jesus. Narrow is the path, straight is the way. And so the Lion of Judah represented the royalty of God's deity. And so when we begin to understand these texts, the south side of the camp was a color white in the image of the Christ's purity. The banner insignia was of a man, Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the triune God. See, God, Jesus is the visible, invisible God, and he made himself man. And so he represents the insignia of man in the color of white. And whereas in the east gate, we had the color of purple. And so we go through, and the image represents Christ. Why did it represent Christ? Because the purity, again, the lion representing Jesus. Hallelujah. And so each one of these have relationships. And I'm sorry, we don't have enough time to go through all of this. We get into more of it as we go into, we're just doing introduction to the whole book in this section of the preface in chapter one. The west side of the camp was scarlet, red. The image of the bull represents, again, Christ Jesus. The blood, always the blood. That blood, it's a bloody business, because you had to make a sacrifice. And so that sacrifice, the blood today is not the same. It's your willingness to, what are you willing to let go? The sacrifice is painful. The separation and the transformation in the flesh is painful because naturally it's very difficult to just change. You ever try moving and it's difficult to pack up and move. You've been through a divorce, you've been through death. It's difficult. So we're not talking about blood. We're just talking about the emotional transitions that you suffer in this world. So there's a scarlet red represents the sacrifice by the priests. It also represents today what sacrifices you've made. Now, on the north side was the color of blue insignia of the eagle, again, representing the presence of God. But under the wings, under the eagles, under the shadow of the presence of God, the banner. And so we're going to get into all of these. The banner on the north side represents the holy place of Christ, the holiness of God, the ministry of earth, the crucifixion. I even discovered and started studying more about the eight gates of prayer, the eight stations of prayer, and how each of those are set at a certain time. When they finish building all the courts, God comes down out of Exodus and lights the courts and lights the fire of the outer court. I'm pointing to the screen like you can see me, but at the altar of sacrifice, where you have the priest offering the animals at the brazen altar, when they finished building this tabernacle, God sent a fire down from heaven and he lit both the sacrificial offering, brazen lavia or brazen altar, and he lit the fire over the tabernacle where the altar of incense are. And so we're going to get into that. So Moses finished the work and the cloud covered the tent. And the glory filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter into the tent because the cloud abode this kind of glory, the weight of his glory. The glory filled the tabernacle. And when the paraclete is the Holy Spirit. And when the cloud was taken up from the over the tabernacle, the children went forward on their journeys. But if the cloud were taken up, then the journey not till, excuse me, but if the journey were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and by fire it was on by night. So there was always the presence of God. You heard me talk about the outer court, inner court of who you are in relationship to God. I wish people that were on the phone could see this, but if you have your book, you can see this. The outer court is of your humanity is your physical body. It represents the lust of the eye, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The court where you confess is the outer court. Before you accept Jesus Christ, you're confessing to ask God to take you out of this sin nature, to help you to become all that he created you to be. And that's how I begin to tie this relationship between the outer court and the holy court. The holy court represents your soul, the center of your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions, transformed by the renewing of your mind through Christ Jesus. And then the holies of holies is where you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when he says, I'll sit you in a heavenly place. This is a continuation of the impartation of the Holy Spirit and the righteousness of God through Christ, Jesus Christ, that changes who you are and purifies you and gives you a mind that is more subject to be obedient to the will of God versus the natural flesh, so that you're willing to give up and sacrifice so that your mind is Christ-centered and people begin to see a shift in your character and your attitude. Your conversation is changed because you sold out. And so God's love is in your heart, your mind, and your soul, because this is also saying, I've got another graph for you right here that represents the center of your mind of being in the holy court, moving to an indwelling place of the Holy Spirit, imparting of his righteousness, where he takes you beyond the veil and begins to change you so much to give you clarity of purpose and vision and authority and power, because he's found, since you have given your life to him and you've been on this journey, we're on a journey. Your life is a journey. The dash between your birth date and the end date is a journey. And what are you doing with that journey? And so these are things that he says, the spirit of the God that dwelleth in you is my spirit. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That's 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. Know ye not? In other words, you see that, know ye not? You know ye not? He's asking a question. Don't you know who you really are? That I created you in my image and my likeness, and I've given you power not to sin, but to live a life that's pleasing to God. That your body become a temple of the holy temple of God, the Holy Ghost, which is in you, the Holy Spirit, which he gave of God, gave to you. You are not of your own. You've been purchased. There's a propitiation. The debt was paid by Jesus. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Know that Jesus Christ is in you. Except you be a retrobate. A reprobate is a person who pretends to be, but always finds himself having excuses and never doing the will of God. But pretends to be, we become hypocrites, and we live in that state where we become a retrobate. We refuse to accept the will of God and his plan for our lives, because we'll turn to everybody else and not to God. We'll turn to the television and give TV and movie theaters and everybody the money, but God, we want the blessings, but I trust that you shall know that you're not retrobates. And here's the picture again. I got this from Father Flager. What's that? I can't think of the name of the church right now. Forgive me, Father Flager, but God bless you. Thank you for this. This is on his wall. What is the name? Saint Sabina. I got you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And so as we go forward, we talked about now we're talking about the outer court. This is the brazen altar. Some of you I've sent before, and I'm going to come off of this for a minute. I've shared with people before in the book, and people have been in my class. I sent you an outline of a synopsis that explains all that, but every chapter that we're getting into is going to go into depth about this. So I just wanted you to see these pictures. The brazen altar. This was done by James Nelson. That's my son, my wife's oldest son. Praise God. The outer court enter with thanksgiving, and they brought their sacrifices. What was sacrificed was Jesus. And this is a terrible, just gut-wrenching picture of Jesus. Look at what they did to my Jesus. And they beat him and whipped him, but he said not a mumbling word. And so Jesus dies, and the blood represents a washing. The lavière represents a cleansing, a washing. In Revelation, as we get further in depth in this, the brazen altar, which was made of brass, was also used back then as mirrors. So you would see in the clear water reflections, but it also represents the sea of glass in heavenly, in the heavens, the heavenly realm around the throne of God. When the beasts and the cherubims are singing, the people are singing, holy, holy, holy. It's a reprimand, as a reflection of God showing you your sins. If you have a prayer life, if you have had intimacy with God, he will show you when he washes you, when he cleanses you, when he chastens you, he will show you, he will correct you, he will guide you, he will love you through every step, but it is not always easy. But this is where you come before you can go in the holy court. This symbolizes that I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'm willing to be baptized in the water. This water, this is the lavia. This is where they wash. It was given by divine instructions that Moses tell them to wash before they can come into the holy court. So baptism represents that. And then the holy priest is the high priest. And that today is you. You are the priest in your home. And we're going to get into all this understanding of all these different parts of the garments that were worn, the breastplate, the golden plate, the girdle. And then you become, hallelujah, put on the whole arm of God. You put on the whole arm of God. So that's the kind of teaching that we want to exemplify, to help you to see that this is you. This is your walk with Jesus. This is not just Brother Seals. I see somebody has some questions. Did you have questions? Anybody? I can't see the chat. Okay. Gotcha. Amen. Amen. But I just want you all to see, and I'm going to go back to share for just a minute because I think some people may have missed this. But if you're on Facebook, you can see this real quick. I was showing them how from Jesus giving his life for us, giving himself as a living sacrifice for you and I, that our Jesus, our Jesus, who died in sacrifice, all he asks you to do is come get baptized. That the lavier means washing, a cleansing. Baptism means an outward illustration that you've accepted Jesus Christ. Before the priest could go into the holy court, they had to be washed. They had to be cleansed. We're going to get into more detail about that. But now you're the priest. You don't have to wear no holy garments. But we're going to talk about the high priest. We're going to show you what this all means. We're going to explain what the mitre is. That he wore, and the band across the top, it represents the atonement, the consciousness of man. Let this mind that be in Christ also be in you. And so we'll talk about the stones and the breastplate and the ephod. We'll get into all of that, the robe. We're going to talk about the bells on the bottom of the priest's robe. But this is you, the whole armor of God. We read that in Ephesians 6. Praying in the spirit puts on the armor. And it's the power that makes us work. I got this off of public media. The helmet of salvation, 6:17. And you can see this. Breastplate of righteousness. The spirit, the sword of the spirit of the word, the word of God. And put on the whole armor. You can't put it on. Matter of fact, you were born into it. You're confessing Jesus and accepting him as your Lord and Savior is what allows you to operate on the battlefield for the Lord. Otherwise, you become an enemy to God. That's what enmity means. You're doing everything opposite of what God wants you to do. When you can be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, but you're not living for God, then you have to question, are you really saved? You're still doing the same stuff you were doing before you say you were saved? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, the rulers of darkness of this age. And that's demonic spirits that are in the atmosphere. The prince of this world is Satan. But God has given us weaponry, spiritual. This beautiful picture of the shoes and your feet shodded in the preparation of the gospel. This is beautiful illustrations, but this is also spiritual warfare that we're in. The shield of faith is the word of God that protects your mind and keeps you out of harm's way. Hallelujah. The sword of God's word, the knowledge of God's words teaches us how to obey, how to live for his glory. And I can't get into all the scriptures, but we're going to talk about the choice spices and the anointing that goes on. And so we're going to get into the holy court, and I'm trying to check my time because I'm in the share moment right now. But oh my God, time went faster than I thought. That's why I can't teach this class in an hour. It's just impossible. It's just so much to share. But I do want you to jump to page 31. And if you don't mind, we'll go a few minutes longer. If you have to jump off, okay, because we started at 2:10. So we're running 10 minutes behind. So we're going to try and make up for some of that right now. Amen. On page 31, I want to point out a couple of things to you because your outline speaks to this. So I'm going to take you right to these points. Also, rending the veil signifies, you see where it says that? Signifies that God allowed Christ to take on the sins of the world, though he knew no sin. So Jesus becomes, that word is propitiation. And what that means, in other words, is the grace of Jesus which reconciles us from sin. I had planned on putting this up on the computer as well so you could see it on the screen for those who don't have the book, but unfortunately, that didn't work today. Some reason I didn't want to shut the computer down. But so in other words, the grace of Jesus, there's the power, the glory of God that reconciled us from our sin. Jesus forgives believers from the debt. And so this debt that we owe, Jesus takes on the sin, and God allows him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sees a reflection of the pain that he's going to suffer in Gethsemane, and he sees it in the altar of prayer. That understand, Gethsemane was a valley. That was the place where the olive oil was made, and so the crushing of the olives represents the bruising and the crushing of Jesus. It also represents what you go through. And I'm going to show you this as we go through every part of this book, that in order to get to the next level, there's always something that has to pull off of you so he can deposit something new into you. That's why confession is so important. That's why intimacy with God is moving us beyond just fellowship. And so the cost, if you have the book, you can read a little bit more about it. Know ye not that ye are the light of the world? Jesus recorded saying in 5:14, Matthew 5:14, it is this light of God through Jesus that shines in you, the believers. And so you're the candle of the Lord. John 1:1 and John 2 says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. That if any man sin, we have an advocate, the Father, Jesus, the righteous. He is. The propitiation, the debt payment. He's like the accountant that comes and balances your book, but he takes all the pain for you. But he's doing all the work to make sure that you know that the debt has been paid. He is not an accountant. This is Jesus. He's accounting for your sins, but also for the sins of the world. So it's vital for those that are for a closer walk with Christ to become more knowledgeable of what's required, its prerequisites leading us to that desired place with God in order to get beyond the veil. There's some prerequisites that you have to have. And one of them is a prayer life. One is studying of the word. One, more importantly, is first beginning to believe by faith that you are truly created in his image. And that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can even ask through Christ Jesus, according to the power that he put in you. And that's why it's so important to discover who you are. Come to God by believing. At the bottom of that page, 131, you got to believe by faith. Come and ask God for his forgiveness with sincerity, not just once a year, not on Easter Sunday, every day. Every day, there's something you think is negative. Every day you're experiencing something that's tempting you. Every day there's sin abounds in this world. Come to God daily with a desire to have more intimacy in the life of prayer with God. And so I've fallen in love with prayer. Drawing closer to Christ actually begins at the entrance, at the east gate of the outer court. Is where you surrender yourself and say, I don't want no more just this fleshly world that I live in. I want to discover really who my Father is. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he called me his chosen. He calls me peculiar treasure. He's given me a key to the kingdom. My Father's rich. I need to know who my daddy really is. And so I just wanted to point out some of these things and said, so we go down to page 32. And we find that the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Searching all the inward parts. So the spirit of the light of God knows all about your thoughts. But he called you to be the candle of the Lord. And so March 19th, we're going to have a prayer. And the theme is believers, candles of the Lord, let your light shine. I didn't find this to be this. I said, well, Lord, how did this come together with me teaching this and this prayer at the same time? I didn't, when I said I was going to teach this class, Sister Willamette, I did not know that I was going to be doing no prayer on March 19th. And so that's how the Holy Spirit moves in you. And then prayer is what's missing in the world. Because you, the tabernacle, the people of God, the believers, he's not calling the church. He's calling the believers. You're the church. He's calling the body of Christ. to come back to a place of worshiping him and adoring him, praising and worshiping him. So as we press towards what God has purposed, he transforms our hearts, our minds, and we become more like him by his righteousness, not my self-righteousness, but his righteousness. There's a Holy Ghost quickening within the spirit man. I'm on page 32. A quickening of the spirit man. As we become new creatures in Christ, through Christ Jesus, we should sacrifice, dedicate more time and be more disciplined to be in the presence with God. Amen. And to, I'm asking our sister Wilhelmina, because I see you on the screen. Are you seeing this me, or are you seeing the pages move? Because I kind of got stuck, got lost a little bit in this. I think you're just seeing me. And so the word, the spirit of the word is the holy anointing of the olive oil. It's the presence of God. It's the light of the candles. That's your inner spirit. In the holy court, the golden candlestick was the only light. And so God uses us as his candles. God uses you and I as his candles to bring light and hope to the world. And the oil represents you coming to get some more of the Holy Ghost. They come to get more of his anointing. So you have the power and authority to carry out his plan, his will, his purpose for your life. This was not a candle, but just a candle, but bowls made of gold and filled with the finest of the pure oil. Today, olive oil symbolizes or symbolic of faith to believe in Jesus. It's the same oil which represents the anointing of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. It is thus representing the lighting for all mankind. I am the light of the world. Whosoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life, the breath of life. Even when your body stops breathing naturally, and he says, well done, my faithful servant, he welcomes you home. Someday you'll wear a crown. Hallelujah. You'll be in heaven singing glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. And so let's jump over to page 33. We're not going to get through all of this tonight, and I knew this was going to happen, so it's okay. And so in the outer court, we begin to build by divine revelation with the hands of man. This building of this tabernacle is not a place built by man's hands. This is the work of God. This is the presence of God. This is drawing closer and to Christ, actually begins at that entrance gate as we press toward what God has purposed to transform our hearts and mind. In the inner court, the holy place, we are required to dig deeper in the inner court. This is for those of you that don't have this, the book, I'm going to show this real quick if I can. Hold on, people of God. I want to show people this this picture on share. The holy court. This is the holy court. This is a precious place of intimacy with God. Well, we had the candlestick. You saw it earlier. It had a tent over it. It had coverings over it. It's inside the outer court. This is the second court. This is after we come into the entrance. On the left-hand side, you'll see the you're facing east. So if you're facing east, on the, what is that? If I'm facing east, no, I'm facing west because I've entered. On the right-hand side, we'll find the candle, the menorah. On the other side, we find the showbread or the bread, the manna from heaven. This represents the manna from heaven. It represents today the eating of the word, the Bible, the spirit of the living God. But the priests were the only one that were allowed here. The only person that was allowed to come here, the priest could come in here, clean this, but the high priest lit this and kept this burning. This was incense, and the incense I'm going to show you were made of spices. That was some slides above this. But this is this veil that separates, see this altar right here, that's called the altar of prayer. And this altar was also made and covered in gold, made of acacia wood, had staves that you could not touch this. You only could carry it by these poles, what they call staves. The red tips represent the blood on the four corners. So it represents the four corners of the world, the covering. It represents the gospels of Jesus Christ. It represents the blood of Jesus, huh, through the lamb that was sacrificed, Jesus, the lamb, not the rams and all of that, but Jesus on the cross. And he rent this veil, and we'll get into that. This is the veil. And so we have the candlestick, we have the showbread, we have the menorah, and then we're going to get into each one of those. This is the menorah, the candle of the Lord, and the golden showbread. And then we have the altar, the golden altar of incense. And this is where only the priests could come. And all these different herbs that were crushed and placed in these bowls and these, forgot what they call them now, but they were placed in these little containers, and they would dump it and would get a smell, a fragrance. And the fragrance represents the presence of your prayers going up before God. And this is the Ark of the Covenant where the high priest, it goes once a year to give all praise, honor, and glory to God. The cherubim wings, we'll get into that next week. And so this is Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. This is God. This is the presence of entering into a sacred relationship of God, that you're asking God to let you into his most holy place. Lord, and allow us to come in that we might discover, even through all the battles that we fight, even the mental anguish we suffer within this world, even the attacks of the enemy in our lives, God, allow us into your secret place, that sacred place. It's not secret anymore. You rent the veil. This tearing open here is just an example of an artist who said, this is the way I see it. That's what James Nelson, my son James, did that. My wife's oldest son. James had that creativity. I said, I just want to be able to exemplify moving away from a period that only the priest being able, but now you come directly into his presence, to the presence of God. You don't have to worry about the actual Ark of the Covenant. We're going to talk about it. We're going to teach on it. But it says, this is Isaiah 53, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, talking about Jesus, as a root out of this dry ground. He have no form of comeliness. In other words, sometimes people of God, don't worry about how fashionable you are. If you got everything going on, and you trying to fit in with everybody, because people ain't going to accept you. This first sentence right here lets us know that Jesus was in the land, and man could not accept him with all power in his hand, because he didn't fit what man was expecting. When God uses you, he doesn't have to have everybody. You don't need everybody else's permission. Don't make the mistake that I did. Don't make the mistake of loving God but not trusting him enough to be obedient, to do his will. Because I found that the further I ran away from him, that there was no hole deep enough. I still ran right back into what God wanted me to do. Much later in life, but I'm still doing it. I'm still teaching. I'm praying more than I ever had. I never thought I would be a prayer leader. He is despised and rejected of men. You've been despised. You've been rejected. You got some sorrows. You've been acquainted with grief. COVID is real. And we got a lot of fools out here, a lot of people out here talking about, you don't need to wear no mask. Oh, almost a million people have died, and we still got people believing that this is a hoax. Because we have turned so far away from truth. That's why God said, man's knowledge will make you a fool. I didn't say that. I'm saying it, but I didn't write it. Surely he had borne our grief. Talking about Jesus. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to bear some grief. You're going to have some sorrows. You're going to be stricken. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be abused. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be lied on. You're going to have afflictions and infirmities. There are things that happen to you. But he was wounded for our transgression. But anybody that suffers with Jesus, he will bring you through it. As sure as my name is Anton Seals. He is a healer. With his stripes, we are healed. We have all gone astray. Everyone has turned his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us. He took all of your sins and died on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Glory to God. And so I shared these points. I think I sent this to you all. If I didn't, please remind me and I'll send this out to you. But this is so profound, brothers and sisters in Christ, that I just want us to get to this place where we have this relationship of understanding who we really are in God. And that you would grow to know Jesus for yourselves. And I know that I'm way behind on some of this, but I just want to tell you, the propitiation wounded for our transgressions. On page 39, the beginning was the Word, and the Word began with flesh. We'll cover that next week, and I'll speed it up. You've already looked down at number on page 4, your handout, 3 types of sin. I've already covered that. And so after the creation, the curse of man, the carnal mind, enmity against God, Adam falls. So we'll start on page 37 next week, and we'll get start 37, and we'll go right into chapter 1 and chapter 2, beginning of chapter 2. I gave you a handout that looks like this. Oh, I can't show it because my computer, my Word file crashed. But you should have a handout that looks like this. It's 3 pages. It says worksheet. And it says, the tabernacle dwells in you, discovering the presence, power, and the plan. But it says, teacher, student, review. This is questions 1 through 4. This is actually chapter 1 through 4. So I just put a little questionnaires together. You can begin to go in and fill in the blanks. But I sent this in your email today. So you can go back and then we'll cover some of this. If you got any questions, please feel free to ask next week. Huh? Oh, okay, hold on. I'm gonna take everybody off mute. Thank you, Randall. Just click on off mute. Just click your computer should take you off. I've unmuted everybody. So I'm asking you to unmute individually. I don't know why I didn't jump. It should have. Unmute it, Randall.
Yes, everybody that wants to talk can talk now. They can take themselves off mute.
Any comments, any thoughts? I don't know who's left on. I can't see everybody's face, but I want to thank you for being on.
I just want to, I invited my sister and she's on.
I see.
She decided to, and I gave her that today. She said she was on third floor. Thank you for attending.
Thank you, Sister Cheryl. God bless you. Any questions from anyone? Hallelujah. I know Willa Mayu is going to say, just keep teaching.
I just got to say, it is a lot of information.
Let me say to everybody before you go there, Randall's been in this class twice. So, and I pray that he got something different today. Yeah. So the presentation is a little different than what I did before.
I see Sister Kruger's got a hand up.
Oh, okay.
She needs to unmute herself, though.
Unmute yourself. Hit your mute button down on the left on your screen where it says mute your microphone.
Yeah, she needs to unmute herself.
Maybe so. Sister Kruger, can you hear me? You got to unmute yourself.
I'll just like to say that, I find the class very interesting. I did find my book, The Tabernacle, and it's pretty on target. I must have got the last one. But the handouts that you sent out every week does give the topics of that particular one in which you talk about. So I found those printouts. I can either print it out or screen. So it's very good. I think it's a very good class. This is my second time around, so you know I'm getting a little more out of this time.
Amen. Amen. Sister Kruger, can you hear me, Evangelist? Turn your volume up now. You got it off mute. Brother Stanley Nevels, Deacon Nevels, are you there?
Here, my brother, you full excitement as always. You light up the place. So that's your calling.
That's just the Holy Ghost.
We give that's God your calling, brother.
thank you for being on. I see you. I don't see your face now, but thank you. Sister Cheryl, I don't know if you can hear me. I know Sister Kruger took it off mute, but I didn't hear her.
You can't hear me?
Now we can.
Okay, I wasn't asking a question. I just wanted to give you a hands up on the presentation. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Amen.
We're glad to have you. Thank you so very much.
I'm glad y'all let me be on with you, high scholar of God.
We give all glory to God. And thank you for the teaching of your husband, Dr. Kruger.
Yeah.
Help me perfect what this teaching is. Amen.
Hey, my sister says she can't unmute. Is she muted on your end?
No, it says ask her to unmute. I hit the main button.
Oh, okay. There she go.
Now I am. Thank you. I enjoyed the session.
You got to turn it up a little bit. Your volume.
Where?
Okay, I hear you now. It's much better.
We can hear you, Cheryl. Go ahead. She might be having some problems.
Well, we thank God for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, next week we'll start on page 41. You'll get another handout. And that's why no matter where you come in on this class, you'll continue being fed the importance of the tabernacle at every junction of this teaching, because there's repetitiveness throughout the scripture about your relationship and your intimacy with God, that we try to connect the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so next week we'll show some more visuals. And I have a video, a 2-minute, 3-minute video on the tabernacle, but I wanted to go this way today. The main glow.com was a beautiful Bible software application, but Randall, they went out of business because of COVID.
Wow.
So many staff got sick and whatever happened, they don't have, it's a beautiful, beautiful pictures and movie videos, but I found some new stuff. So God bless you all. Thank you so very much. This is Elder Seals, and this is our AJS ministry, second week into the tabernacle. I'm taking my time. We're doing 16 weeks, trying to slow down and just really, hopefully, be led by the Holy Spirit always, that it impacts somebody's life that you want to know more. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to be on this podcast or teaching live on Facebook through Zoom, Facebook streaming every Tuesday at 2:00. 16 weeks on teaching about the tabernacle, the importance of giving our lives over to Christ Jesus so that we can enter beyond the veil, beyond just our normal relationship, and enter into a holy, holy relationship with God, that he will reveal to each one of you that you are his children, the chosen, that you are peculiar, that you are the children he calls sons and daughters, he calls the ambassadors, he calls you to be the stewards of the kingdom, calls you to be stewards of the mysteries of God, understanding the parables, and enlightens you with godly wisdom, godly knowledge, godly understanding, and to understand the almighty power of God as much as we're able to consume of it, to fear God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to trust and obey him. Lord, I thank you that you will continue to teach me how to teach this word. I praise you and I exalt you, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Sister Cheryl Poindexter. I saw your chat message. God bless all of you. And thank you all so very much. 773, there's a 3731. I forgot who that is. That Clarence? I think Clarence gone, isn't he? But thank you all.
You're welcome.
Thank you all so very much. To the listening audience, if you'd like to get in touch with us, the information is on our Facebook page. You can write me at ajsmprayerline @gmail.com. If you'd like to sow a seed or give a donation, you can do that through what's listed there, Cash App, through Zelle. And you can also do it through PayPal on our AJS Ministry website. God bless you. The class is free. We decided to take that down. We've been blessed with people that gave donations and sowed seed. Thank you all that are on who did sow seeds. All of you on have sown into my life so much. And I thank you. I thank you so very much. Peace and blessings to everybody. Please share this and share the link that you're going to get later today. Please share it with others and invite them. It's free. We ain't begging nobody, but we'd love to have more people that we can teach the word to and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let your light shine. God bless you. Till we
God bless you
next
too. Week. Amen.
And if you can be on Thursday with us on the podcast, we got Pastor Randy Glass from Monument of Faith who will be on with us on Thursday at 7 o'clock. Peace and blessings, everybody. Thank you, Elder Evangelist Kruger.
Thank you.
Willamette, thank you.
Thank you.
Stan, Cheryl, Randall, peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings to all of you all.
Blessings.
Y'all be with us till we meet again.
Amen. Amen.